Our text is the gospel reading for this day from Matthew chapter 22. I read for you again these words of our Lord. Therefore, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. So far the reading of the text. In the name of Jesus, the only Savior of the world. Some questions are asked, but not to seek information, but to trap someone. The classic example of such a question is this. Have you stopped beating your wife? A yes or no answer, please. You see, no matter how the guy answers, it sounds bad. If he says yes, it sounds like he'd been beating her before. If he says no, it sounds like he is still beating her. No matter what he says, yes or no, he is in trouble. In today's gospel, the enemies of Jesus, the Pharisees and the Herodians, think they have a question that will trap Jesus no matter how he answers. The chief priests and Pharisees have been trying to entrap Jesus for several days now. We're in Jerusalem during the days leading up to the Passover. Jesus' enemies are desperately trying to find something they can use against Jesus. They had asked him before, by what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority? But that didn't work, because Jesus trapped them with a question of his own by asking about the authority or the source of John's baptism. Was it from heaven or from man? And they couldn't answer. Now, these guys are trying another question, but first, they try to flatter him, to butter him up, so as to maybe catch him off guard and get him to speak a little more freely. We read, then the Pharisees went and plotted how to entangle him in his words. And they sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians, saying, Teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God, and teach the way of God truthfully. And you do not care about anyone's opinion, for you are not swayed by appearances. In speaking such words, they are right. Jesus does speak the word of God truthfully. Jesus does not seem to care about anybody else's opinion. He simply says the truth. And yet, these guys don't believe it for a second. They're only saying these things to try to get him off guard so they can trap him in what he says. And here's their question. Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? To understand why this is such a thorny question, you need to know that it is the Pharisees and the Herodians, two groups who are normally opposed to each other, who are asking. You see, the Pharisees were angry about the Romans occupying their land and running the show. Whereas the Herodians were content to work with the occupying Roman Empire if it would increase their own wealth and power. Normally, these two groups would be at odds with each other, but they find common cause in their hatred of Jesus. for he was a problem for them both. The Pharisees didn't like Jesus because he'd been gaining a following and he had a habit of exposing their hypocrisy. The Herodians didn't like Jesus because he spoke of a kingdom higher than Caesar's. So the Pharisees and the Herodians joined forces to try to trap Jesus and catch him in his words. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? They figure however Jesus answers, they have him. If he answers, yes, it is lawful to pay taxes to Caesar, then the Pharisees would accuse him of being unpatriotic, not being a loyal Jew, and subsidizing and maybe even approving somewhat of the godless pagan empire. And if he says, no, as proud Jews, we definitely should not pay taxes to that blasphemous Caesar, then the Herodians can report Jesus as being a rebellious insurrectionist. Whichever way he answers, yes or no, Jesus will be in big trouble. They have laid the perfect trap. Or so they thought. But Jesus sees through what they're trying to do, and he won't fall for it. Our text continues. But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why put me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. Jesus has something in mind. He's going to turn the tables on them and put them on the spot. They bring Jesus a denarius, the common coin used by the Romans to pay the tax. Very often, when someone asks Jesus a question, he answers them with a question of his own. And so he holds up the denarius and asks them, "Whose likeness and inscription is this?" Now on this coin was the image of the current Roman emperor, which at this time was Tiberius Caesar. And his name was on there too. So in response to Jesus' question, they answer correctly. Caesar's. Okay, that's pretty simple. And now Jesus is going to answer their question. Remember, they had asked him, is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? And he has shown them Caesar's image and inscription on the coin. So Jesus says, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. But what does that mean? Well, for one thing, he's saying that it's okay to pay taxes to the government. And we affirm that. Render unto Caesar. This is one of the passages that teaches us Christians to obey the government and pay our taxes, even if we're not crazy about the current occupants of the government. God has instituted civil government for our good. Romans 13 teaches us likewise. Render unto Caesar. Okay, we've got that. But really, that's the lesser of the point of the story. For Jesus' answer concerns something much more important than rendering unto Caesar. For Jesus also says, render to God the things that are God's. This is where Jesus turns the tables on his enemies. For they were not rendering unto God the things that were God's. How so? Well, standing right there in front of them is God's own Son, who bears the image of God in his person, and who, in effect, has God written all over him. And they are not rendering faith and obedience unto God by believing in the one he sent, namely Jesus, and receiving him. That's what they should have been doing, but they weren't. In fact, they had rejected Jesus and were conspiring to kill him. That certainly is not rendering unto God the things that are God's. And that's the big issue. Not this trick question about paying taxes to Caesar. You see, Jesus bears the image of God in his person, and he demonstrates it all by word and deed. Jesus Christ is the very Son of God, come down from heaven to reveal God to us and to win our salvation. Jesus exudes grace and truth in his words of wisdom and in his acts of mercy. And he is here for you. Christ is right here for you today. Do not reject him like the Pharisees and the Herodians did. Instead, receive him as your dear Savior. Jesus lived and died and rose again for you. He bore your sins on the cross so that now your sins are forgiven. Christ wipes away your debt of sin, and he gives you his righteousness in its place. Jesus suffers your death and gives you his life in its place. Freely. Nothing you have to do to earn it. It's a gift. Forgiveness and life. And eternal salvation in Jesus' name. John had declared, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And that includes your sin. And so you ask yourself this question: whose likeness and inscription is this? In Christ Jesus, we see how God is like. He is just and merciful, and he loves us so much. We see God inscribing our names into his book of life. Rejoice in this. And furthermore, in your baptism, you have put on Christ and his robe of righteousness. You were reborn in the image of Christ so that you now bear his image and his name. Therefore, render to God the things that are God's. Render to God your very self and all that he has given you. Believe in his Son and live in such a way that demonstrates that very reality. Let us pray. On my heart imprint your image, blessed Jesus, King of grace, that life's riches, cares, and pleasures never may your work erase. Let that clear inscription be, Jesus crucified for me, is my life, my hope's foundation, and my glory and salvation. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.